This is Neil Whiteside. Cambridge 105 Radio.
And we've got a brand new Charity of the Month because we're in November now. And our Charity of the Month here on Cambridge 105 Radio is Make, Do and Mend. And I have two members of Make, Do and Mend with me in the studio this afternoon. I've got Natalie Tanzarella, who is the volunteer coordinator. Afternoon, Natalie.
Hello.
And I've got one of the trustees, Rasik Kotecha. Very good afternoon to you, Rasik.
Hello to everybody.
Hi. Now, tell us a little bit about Make, Do and Mend, because you're a trustee. You must know all about it. You must know how it was all formed and everything.
I've been involved in the trustee form for nearly 7-8 years. And I've known Alice Webb, who started the charity 10 years ago, 2010. And the main purpose of the charity is to help the people who suffer from mental health. And when they go through the hospital and the treatment, when they finish the treatment, they need a bit of challenge in to go back to the working life.
Right.
So what we do is trying to do some sort of workshops for different skills to get some confidence back on the people who had suffered from some mental issues. So they are quite confident to apply for jobs and then go back to the proper life. And that's the main purpose of the charity. It has been quite successful. A lot of people have benefited from it. It's a local charity around Cambridge. We do have a number of workshops in Castle Street, Methodist Church in Castle Street. And I'm sure Natalie will talk about the workshop we're currently running.
Okay. I mean, looking at your website, yeah, there's an enormous list. I mean, do you sort of tend to see who is around? Do people sort of like self-refer to you, or do people get referred to you?
Most of them are self-referred. They'll find out from us from the website and from the personal recommendations, if you like.
Right.
There are some hospitals and then the GPs would recommend us as well.
Right. Do you have to sort of, therefore, sort of mould the classes to the people who are going to come along? Does it work that way, or do you always have a good range on offer and people can kind of pick and choose from that?
Well, we are quite a small charity, so we can adjust it to what people's requirements are, and then we find out what's more popular skill people want. And like one of the skills that's been very popular from the very beginning was French, and people
really
wanted to learn French, and I was quite surprised about that. But there were quite a few people who wanted to learn French, and Alice knew French quite well, so she was quite happy to teach.
See, that is really interesting, because when you said that at the start, as you say, I've been very fortunate, but I know plenty of people who have suffered in various stages and to various levels with mental problems, and you're right, often it's sort of healed in a practical way, isn't it? Well, woodworking or something like that, something that involves use of the hands, but actually to involve the brain, just go, actually, now we're going to test you and to learn a new language. Language. That's an interesting take on it, isn't it?
That is, yeah. And as I said, we can do more workshops which requires intelligence, but we also do a lot of practical things as well. We do candle making, art workshops. We have a very successful gardening workshop as well. And then where we can do we do a veg box. So we have a gardening workshop where we can do a veg box come out from the use of the pallets. So we use the wooden pallets, which people want to get rid of.
Right.
We got people who can make little veg boxes out of it, where you can grow some vegetables or some flowers. And there are a number of places where they don't have garden, but they have enough space in a flat or in an apartment to put a veg box in.
Yeah.
And we can provide that. And a lot of smaller businesses would obviously sponsor us to have a veg box outside the offices as well.
How amazing.
That has been very successful. People like to do something practical as well.
So how does it work? Do people sort of tend to be with you for a short time, or is that really a stupid thing? Some people are with you for a short time, some people could be with you for years.
It depends. So some people are here, will be with us for 6 months, 12 months. Some people would slightly longer. And more interesting thing is that a number of people who benefit from our scheme wants to volunteer to become a workshop organizer or a trainer.
And that's an amazing thing, isn't it? If you can do that, if you can have someone who has joined you, done a course, and is then confident and happy enough to turn around and actually train other people.
That's right, and then they've got confidence to put something back into our charity.
That must be very satisfying when you see that happen. Yeah.
And then give example, we were trying to get some funding for our charity. I wanted to, there was European, what do you call, community funding.
Sure, yeah.
So they wanted to see me to talk about the charity. And one of the members says, can I come with you? Because I had some finance experience before, but I had a lot of problems with my health and everything like that, and I lost the confidence. Mm. So he said, I said, come along. You don't have to worry about it. But so I will be there, but I'll make sure if you want to say something, I'll let you say it. So when we went there, he came with a nice smart suit and a tie and everything and put me in a bit of
a... Is that right? Uh-oh. I think you'll find this is how you dress for a meeting. How, mate?
And then we sat down and we started talking about it. And then I started the conversation. Then he says, can I say something? I said, yeah, of course you can say something. Could I stop him? No, he kept on going. He had so much confidence to say what he benefited from going through the charity workshop. And he really wanted to tell firsthand to the grant funding people how he benefited out of it.
But that's the best testimonial, isn't it?
Exactly.
Someone stood there like that saying, listen, these people really helped me.
He was so confident and he got that confidence back again.
This is wonderful.
During the meeting, the girl was... We applied for £6,000 grant. And the girl says, can I talk to you in this office next door? Because I've gone through all this. And we went to next door, and he says, do you know something? You can do with more money than what you applied for.
Really?
So we came back with £15,000 grant because of this gentleman who convinced them how we benefited out of us.
Well, that is testament
that
to what you do, isn't it?
That is amazing. Satisfying for me to see somebody benefited, but the member was over the moon.
Sure, sure. And what sort of age range are we talking about? When will people first get involved with you?
So it's a mixture of ages. I'd say the minimum age is 16, up until 50, 60s in between. It depends, really.
Right, OK. So, Natalie, you're the volunteer coordinator, and I'm just thinking exactly what Arashik was saying there. OK, maybe you can get some people who've actually been through your system and can turn around and do some of the volunteering back. But how do you source volunteers to actually run all these courses and do all this work?
OK, so we have a few websites where we advertise our positions. I go to stalls, so Strawberry Fair, Mill Road Winter Fair. That's how I get to know people. Through word of mouth, really, through student unions. They have, so Anglia Ruskin University is what I'm in contact with often. And
right.
They have a website where we can upload our opportunities. So I think I've had a lot of volunteers that are from student population, and that's quite handy.
That's quite nice, isn't it, for people to come in and be amongst youngsters? I mean, often when you think of volunteers, you think of people who have retired and have got spare time, but it's great to hear that youngsters are getting involved.
Yeah, that's really how I started. So I was doing my degree in psychology and I needed some work experience, and I went along to the workshop and I enjoyed it, and I was in between, like, okay, I need to volunteer, but I was a bit, you know, shy about becoming in a new role. And then I saw that paid positions were advertised. I was like, okay, this would be really great. It's with a mental health charity. If it's with my degree, I have experience, I know people, I have regular hours, it's a contracted for 2 years. So I was like, this would be a silly opportunity to miss. So I got the position and I was like really happy.
I was going to say, amazing. So talk me through an average week or month in your world. What goes on?
So we have workshops on... We had workshops twice a week regularly. At the moment, they're just one. But for me, I would go to a workshop, you know, do the admin side, we'd bring our laptops, we'd have a church hall. I'd check in with volunteers and members, see what they're up to, maybe join in. So if we have an art workshop on, I like to, you know, I like to hear what the volunteers done and their planning and their ideas, and then I'll sit with the members and they'll say, okay, so and so has done this, and sometimes it's always very relaxed, but sometimes people are just there, they just want some company and they don't really want to chat, and that's fine. As well, that's an important thing that I see, is that some people don't really go out often and they've just come along to make do and mend, and they just want to have a cup of tea and see some faces.
But
that's okay, really helped them.
We hear so much about loneliness, and I'm guessing if you've had mental health issues as well, loneliness must be even more of the sort of the black dog in the room. Is that right, Rashi?
That's right. We want to make sure our workshops are quite friendly, so they're not to what I call very formal workshops, so they're easygoing, and people feel like coming to a workshop because they're not very strict in what they do and how quickly they do it and things like that. So there's no pressure on them to do things too quickly, if you like.
Right, so that's...
So they can do it at their own pace, and there's no pressure on them to learn fast and get out of the door fast.
Right, okie dokie. Well, this sounds amazing. If people are hearing about this and thinking, well, how do we get involved? What are you looking for? Are you looking for helpers, or are you looking for people on courses? I'm guessing that you must have regular applications, because once your name gets out...
We're looking for more people to come in a workshop, for sure. We want to bring more awareness for more people who can benefit from workshops we do.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also looking for some ideas for different type of workshops as well. So we had a general meeting last week, and we had some ideas, like somebody says they want a cookery workshop. So
that'd be good.
That, mm-hmm. And we also got some new ideas about, remind me what it was.
So jewellery making, candle making, and soap making. So that was something we'd done throughout summer for a couple of months. We had a member, and she said, oh, I'm quite good at this, so can I come along and see if there's anyone interested, and that was quite popular. So we did that for a couple of months, and she stayed a member, so she came along to the workshops where she didn't want to take the lead.
Yeah.
And then we just had a new workshop that was quite popular, so that was quite fun. So it's a charity that's run by our members and our volunteers.
I was going to say, it really does sound like people go, well, we quite like this. And you go, all right, well, we can do one of those.
Yeah.
Well, one of the new ideas has come along, and we're still trying to test it out with our members. It's a laughing yoga.
Laughing yoga?
Yeah, and laughing yoga, you've probably never heard of it.
No, I think you're right. I don't think I have ever heard of laughing yoga.
Laughing yoga is something where it can be very relaxing. You can imagine... if a lot of people don't laugh anymore because they're too serious on the computers and in their social media and everything like that.
Mm.
But there's a workshop which is half an hour, 1 hour, where we do nothing but laugh.
Oh, for goodness. I think watching me do yoga would be enough to make most people laugh.
Yeah. Shows that it does have a good effect mentally for people to see the positive side of it.
Yeah.
And we have a trained person to do this, is obviously somebody who trained to do this laughing yoga will make sure it's done properly and things like that. In more simple,
this sounds brilliant. So I guess if somebody is out there, because someone, as you say, someone must A, have had the idea, and someone must B, know how you do it. So there may be people listening and go, do you know what? We could do one of these classes.
You're open
to suggestions like that.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, this is brilliant. I think this is a great way to spend your days and weeks.
Yeah, and there's not many laughing yoga sessions in Cambridge.
I've got to come along to one of those.
I'm laughing already. So that's what we'd like. If anyone's got a passion or something, a hobby that they're interested in, just to make suggestions, say, I'm quite interested in this, I'm good at doing this, I'd like to run a workshop. So that's... there are some things that we need, like a workshop assistant or workshop leader, which would just be assisting the person that has the creative idea.
Mm.
But if someone's passionate about something, or even if they want to practice or learn about it, we have lots of training available and things like that to help them. So if they're not 100% confident in what they're doing,
so you'll take them from concept to final thing.
We'll find out if there's anything available.
Amazing. Well, over the coming few weeks then, I've got a couple of trips booked out with you guys, haven't I? Where will I be coming along?
So I don't remember the date exactly.
No, I don't know the date.
It's the 18th.
It's in my diary somewhere.
Yeah, so you're coming along to the allotment, our allotment project, you're going to come and see me and Tony. I'll be there, so hopefully the weather's okay.
I'll bring the Wellingtons, don't
worry. But it's still nice to just be outside. We'll have lots of stuff growing, and then you'll come along to a workshop on a Friday and come and meet some of our members and our volunteers.
I'll
so
have to
they
see
know
if
you're coming.
If there's a laughing yoga session, I'm coming to that as well. I want to see how this works.
Yeah.
Listen, it's been lovely to find out about the work of Make Do and Mend. If people want to find out more, I've got a website up here, which is makedoandmendinfo.co.uk. That sounds right, doesn't it? makedoandmendinfo.co.uk, and it's got lists of the Veg Box project, it's got all about all the workshops, it's got all of the job volunteer opportunities you've got there, how you can donate. All the information is there on the website, and you'll be finding out more as the weeks go through here on Cambridge 105 Radio throughout November. And these all these interviews, of course, will be podcast on the website, so if people miss one, they can catch up later. But for now, it's been lovely to meet you both, Natalie Tanzarella and Rashid Kotesha. Lovely, thank you so much for
thank
coming
you,
in this
yeah.
afternoon. Make do and mend info.co.uk.